chapel, was it? From the school.
That'd be good.
It's on his card.
You do the reserve, the laughing at the
This could be useful for the district home.
Yes.
For the, you know, printing the miniature.
How much notice do you require?
50.
How quickly do they do it?
The same day. I would take it to work.
Now then. Bring it on Friday and show it to Granville.
I'll get another copy. I'll leave that with Kenneth for now. I'll bring one on Friday. I did mention it to Granville on Saturday.
Aha.
Because he said what it was going to cost him in future. So if we can save some cost, we help both ways. But it's once you get more than 20 copies, you can then make a copy.
Yes.
And that's what makes the copying quite reasonable.
Oh, I see. It's not an ordinary photocopy.
Oh, yeah. But we've got two. This one's called an offset printer. We've got an ordinary photocopier and an offset. The ordinary photocopier works a bit more expensive. But you see, using the offset, I don't know what.
Well, he'll generally want about 70 copies.
Yeah, so that way, it works out much better. Because there are examples there, you know, 100, 200, whatever you want. There's an example. I just thought, because the church newsletter, really, that we could reduce the standard costing a little bit.
Well, why not?
It's going to help my school and it will help us as well.
Oh, it's the school does it?
It's the school does it. Because we've got a printing system for the school, they're now letting out their printing services to others in the community. It's officially done, because therefore they're advertising it. In our last newsletter we sent to every parent, they said it went on the back of it. So if anybody locally wanted to take it up, it is so. So basically all I would have to do is take them with me and bring them home with us, isn't it?
Because
some of these places are both in town. People have to charge you VAT as well, don't they? This is what pushes, if you go to somewhere, it pushes the cost up, doesn't it?
I know a lot of the commercial ones charge you about 10 pence.
Some of them charge you 10 plus VAT, don't they? Which is what adds it up, you know, really.
Well,
you want to leave it with me, Alan, do you?
I doubt if I'll see Granville before Friday. At least. No, if I do, it'll only be Friday morning. And I've got a funeral Friday morning, I think.
No, she's learning how to use it.
Oh, yes.
It's all different things you've got to learn. It's even different from the computer, isn't it?
And the computer, you've got a spell checker.
Well, she's got a spell checker on this one. But it's two capital words.
It's what?
But they were making an offer, if you bought your old machine, they'd knock you £30 off. So we thought we might as well take it.
Yes, I've been busy today. David's been helping me set up. I've just bought myself a 386.
Well, I've got an electric typewriter. The reason being that the son had it and he went over to a printer.
A computer and a printer. A word processor. You see, the beauty of the computer or word processor compared to an electronic typewriter is you can finish your document and then do your storage.
Yes.
Whereas with an electronic typewriter, you've got to do it.
It's really a fast ordinary typewriter in a way. Otherwise, we could do all the same as an ordinary typewriter. But the word processor, of course, you can alter things. You can justify and
And of course, you can shift a block and move it somewhere else and that sort of thing.
Do you take sugar?
No, I don't think so. Yes, this was really rather extravagant, getting this new one, but it's a nice one. Does anybody want to buy an Amstrad? Selling it. See? Thank you. Now, who else are we expecting? Really, it's only Berea, not represented, isn't it? I wonder if interest is coming.
No,
Thank you. Don't let me stop people finishing their tea. Can we begin? I think the only person missing is Idris. So
yes, I have an apology from Idris. He rang me up last night to say that he is more or less confined to barracks now in the evening, now that Phil is home. He can't leave her. And he sent his apology.
Apology from Mrs. not too well tonight.
Right.
Mrs. Eileen, one of our elders, she tied up with her husband in the hospital. Comes for us, being a little short.
And Mrs. is ill, as you know. Rhoda is ill. And an apology from Merle from Sophie Park.
Right. From
the 8th chapter of the letter to the Romans. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for good for them that love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will work for good with us. Help us as we look to the future. May we be guided by your Spirit. May your Spirit guide our prayers and our thoughts and our hopes. And Father, we pray that our hope may not be in vain, but may lead us to sharing again in your kingdom. Father, we pray too for those who are not well and unable to come. May they be sustained and kept according to their need. And Father, we pray for ourselves, and we pray too for those whom we represent, that we may work together according to your will, so that you may work for good in us. Amen. Sadly, although I sent you a letter with suggestions for discussion, I forgot to keep a copy of it for myself. But I hope if I stray too far from the path, somebody will remind me. I suggest that the first thing is comments on what recommendation you will be thinking of making to the church in regard to the visit of Mr. and Mrs. Anybody anything to say?
No, and do you want this?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should have it. Thank you.
Well, I think several times should be ventilated, and I think the important thing would be for agenda this evening, if you could have some for each item in turn.
The only thing one would say though, whilst agreeing with your own, somebody the matters perhaps that may be aired, have a bearing on the other matters in the agenda. Perhaps number one, the one that's in the first paragraph.
Yes.
It's probably most paramount. Are we in a position tonight, perhaps after some discussion, to make a recommendation one way or the other?
Yes. Well, from what I've already learned, I've got to be rather blunt in this matter. I'm afraid that Gerald's expectations, and John's expectations regarding the manse, they're very ambitious indeed. And I can't speak for Salisbury Park, but if we're expected to pay a share of any alterations and so forth, be very difficult for us to meet that commitment. Because if his desires were carried out, we'd be talking about thousands of pounds, virtually, on the manse alone. I don't know whether I've spoken out of place, because I'm not a member of Salisbury Park, but on the assumption that that we would have to share in the expense, you see. You know, any changes?
Are there any other comments on his visit?
Well, to just to keep the ball rolling, my first impressions were good. He seemed to have some drive about him. His sermon was a reasonable sermon. We're not going to get a good preacher. A good preacher can get a much better church than this setup. So we're sort of well down the list as far as that's concerned. At first, I was slightly put off by his choosing Cain and Abel as the start of the sermon, but it seemed to develop reasonably. That was my own impression. I rather admired what he's doing for Margaret, because as far as I can see, he's taking her as she's not able, to, as far as I can see, to exist, to live on her own. And he seems to be taking over from elderly parents. But I was somewhat put off altogether by comments I heard from people who had been in much closer contact than I was, because I saw him, very little of him, really. So I think other people have a contribution to make, which would be important.
Anybody else with a comment?
Personally, I mean, Margaret impressed me greatly, but I think John was incredibly full of his own importance, for one thing. He was exceptionally demanding, and my fairly long conversation was that he almost led me to believe that he had got the job, because when he started making comments about putting his grandfather clocks in the church, 30 of them, and building
30 grandfather clocks, oh goodness.
30, yes.
Or one.
He said he was a collector of antiques, so I said I better keep out of the way. Three old, he said. But the other thing that worried me, he was inclined to be, mind you, I felt aggression in his sermon a little, but he did incline to be very uptight, nervous, and I feel that coming to a good pastorate, I think he would, with his history of having had trouble, I think possibly he would be ill, because he was a bundle of nerves. He couldn't keep still. And, you know, he was, I mean, for instance, at Salisbury Park, he probably didn't mean anything, but on Saturday when I was saying goodbye to him, he said, "Now, I hope there'll be somebody here at 10:10 to open this church tomorrow. I'd like to be here half an hour before the service." So I said, "Well," I said, "I usually try to get here 10:15 or soon after, but it all depends on traffic because I live the other end of the town." However, I got there at 10:15 and he followed me in. And then no sooner got in, he says, "By the way, 2 glasses of water for me. I'm a 2-glass water man." So I said, "It's quite all right, Mr. We're not very well off in Salisbury Park, but we do possess a carafe, and that holds 3. And then he said, "Here's the hymns, put those hymns up now." I said, "That's not my job, it's the organist." And I thought, oh dear me, that was my feeling, and I feel that not for Salisbury Park, not for me.
No. I can endorse that by saying that that I noticed a certain offhandedness in him that I didn't like at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he adopts that manner of attitude, but there we are.
Mr. Chairman, as a colleague, I felt he was all right. We had quite good fellowship together. I heard him here. And I think our people was, well, impressed in some respect. We endorse what you said. There was a terrible nervousness, which you don't expect from a man of that age and of that standing in the ministry. And then it was further endorsed because I went to hear him at Johnstown, and I thought to myself, well, I felt sorry that he was, what's the word about? Well, he was, what can't be the word about now, but he was glued to his notes. You know, there was no freedom, no freedom, not really. And it was a different type of sermon. I felt another thing which I wasn't too happy about, but then again, one can soon change these things. For instance, the hymns that they all had, I presume at Salisbury Park, it certainly with us, and at Johnstown, and at Berea, where there's no alternative, was all from the congregation.
Yes,
ours
were, yes.
Now, he knew beforehand, because we told him when he first came here, that we also use mission praise, and you do.
No, we do.
I would have thought, personally, I would have thought that he would at least have chosen one from mission praise for the benefit of for the people who like that sort of thing.
Well, you do get more modern hymns in that, don't you?
One?
You get more modern hymns in that.
More modern hymns than I should have thought. You know, I would have liked to be a little more up to date in that respect, personally. I liked him as a man, and I thought Mrs. was a delightful lady, very sweet person. But I think I can agree with what Nora has said regarding the possibility of aggressiveness. If I may just add one other thought, whoever the minister comes to us, I think that they should accept the manners without question. That's what we've had to do, brother, all down through the years, haven't we?
Yes.
Some of them being too large, but we've had to bear with it, too cold, but we've had to bear with it. And why there should be such a change these days in that line, I can't quite agree with it. For two people, that Mance was adequate, I would say. I was delightfully surprised with it myself.
Well, I know you were all seemed to be some. You were all amazed when you went in. I could tell by the expression of your faces.
Yes,
funny, I felt it was only fair to take them in.
I think,
and then they know what we were talking about.
Yes, you did right.
But each one said, oh, it's not as small as we thought it was, you see. It's just having that one room with the kitchen, I think, for if someone called, probably.
Nice little room, that would be, for a table and a couple of chairs and portable television if you wanted. Quite nice and adequate.
But, you know, reasonable demands are all well and good. Perhaps if you could ask a thing like this, and I'm sure Salisbury Park would oblige. But, you know, if he said, well, we would like the house redecorated all that.
Oh, well, yes, those are normal things.
No, but as Mrs. Hughes has mentioned to me, when it comes to converting an existing garage into a den or a study, and then asking for another garage to be built, well, you know, it's not good enough, is it?
I would think that's out, because it would destroy the value of the house.
House, of course, and it wouldn't show another person.
Yes.
So I wouldn't agree that house is suitable for a manse. He wants at least one more room downstairs. It would be very unfair to Margaret that every time somebody calls, she's banished the kitchen. And he could use his vestry or another room at the church, but somebody calling in the evening, he's not going to take them over to a cold room for an interview.
But if he knew, Kenneth, they were coming.
Oh, but they wouldn't necessarily.
But most people duly come, surely make an appointment. I think in some way in here, with this particular situation, we go into the question of the house now. The house shouldn't be the issue here.
No, with this situation. The question has been raised.
Obviously, and as Alan asked us a few weeks ago, permission to explore, maybe looking for the finances, if and when it became the situation.
Yes.
But if the John came last weekend to all of us, we were like minded that yes, he fitted the calling here, Mr. Cruz, everything else, I see then that the manse wouldn't be the issue. But basically we're talking now in many ways, other issues are affecting the call here from the man, so therefore the man goes down the pecking order. Basically the matter we're concerned about more is John's
woman. Yes, I think that is the proper order to do things.
Yes.
I think first of all we want to know as far as it's possible, which of course is always within the limitations of our abilities, whether we think he's a man that we can recommend to the church that they should call him. Now, the people I've heard speaking so far don't seem to think so. Is there anybody who disagrees with that assessment? Just to complete the picture.
Well, we had him for the weekend, and looking back on the weekend, we were reasonably impressed with the man and his wife. And from his conversation, he appeared to be a homely sort of a chap, and he was outspoken that he would call a spade a spade. In church, his diction was clear for all to hear. He spoke well to the children, and his sermon message did have a reasonable amount of substance in it. But under the circumstances of being there on trial, I did feel that he was very nervous. The Saturday evening, we were in the lounge and chatting away for 2 or 3 hours, and he could not keep still. He was moving to the left and to the right and sliding down. He was uncomfortable. And when he was in the pulpit, I felt that there was tension there. Whether he did say in conversation that he knows when this nervousness and depression is coming on, and he takes medication and it's all right. But that's to be seen.
I might add that Idris rang me up last night. I was on the telephone for about 3/4 of an hour with him.
That's typical Idris.
But he did ring up. He said, "You're one person I can talk to. You listen to me and I can talk to you." And he didn't want to worry you at that time. But for him, he didn't think he was suitable. Even Idris, they're desperate for, but Idris didn't think, you know, he could cope with the four churches.
Well, Idris rang me up last night, which is not unusual because he often rings, you know, once a week to me, and I ring him occasionally. And his first remark, which is quite natural, he said, "Well, you know, Ernest," he said, "I've heard many ministers."
Yes.
Well, we all have, haven't we? And we're all guilty of being critics. Mm-hmm. But Idris said, in effect, which is an expression which we've all used at some time, that he did nothing for me.
That's right, yeah.
In inverted commas.
Yeah.
He did nothing for me, you see. And I knew what Idris was referring to, you see.
Well, I thought
somehow or another, Idris and I have clicked, somehow or another. And I understand him and he understands me.
Mm.
And that's how we've been able to get on so well together, you know.
Yeah.
But I would add this to you now. Please do not depend in any way upon Berea.
No,
because it's it's holding up. It's dying quickly. Yeah.
I'm afraid that is so. I honestly don't know what we're going to do about Berea.
Right. So it's more or less a threesome, if anything at all.
Mm.
I thought his nervousness was because of the ordeal of, you know, being before us as a,
one of the things I asked him, wasn't it, when we were talking afterwards about the team ministry and working together and the problems and his experiences.
You're not nervous, are you, Pete?
No, but under the circumstances,
the man that
natural advertisement to take the biscuits.
Yeah, who has had a nervous problem, perhaps it was because of the situation, and perhaps if he came, he would overcome it.
I agree, but I think that anybody who speaks in public, you have nervousness beforehand. The moment you go to talk to the people, you know what you're going to say, you have a few notes in front of you, and you talk to the people, if that is your job. It's what you do, no matter how much your knees tremble underneath the table. But you talk to people with the fervour of what you want to tell them.
I think I would agree with you there. It's natural to be nervous.
Absolutely, yes.
In a situation like that, but usually once one gets sort of started, it gets better.
And at least he possibly had done it at least a half a dozen times. Four pastorates. Even if he wasn't accepted on the first occasion, he's probably had another two or three attempts elsewhere. So he's done it
before. And lots of churches that he was telling us that he'd been in contact with, and he must have gone to those churches for the first time. And I don't see that, a new ministry is so very different from meeting people in a new church.
People the same everywhere.
Well, yes. And they are all there willing you to do well.
Yes.
Whatever, audience you're speaking in front of. I mean, in a court you're going to be judged adversely, perhaps. But in a church you are being listened to by people who are of like mind. Yes. And therefore willing you to have something of value and interest to say to them.
Yes, that is important because, when you feel that people are sympathetic, then it's easier to speak.
Yes.
And we wouldn't have invited him if we weren't sympathetic, would we?
Hardly.
No, I feel that this ties in with his nervous breakdown. We had a somewhat similar experience at the previous churches, where we're looking for a minister. And the man who came to us was again very nervous and excitable and so on. Fortunately, we had a doctor in our congregation who had some knowledge of psychiatry, and he had a fairly long session with him, just the two of them. And he strongly recommended us not to accept this man. Well, this man went to another church not so very far away, so we knew what happened. And certainly we were very glad we accepted our doctor's opinion.
Mm. Well, it looks as though there's a fairly clear majority against making a call, as far as I read it. Do you want to show up? Do you want to vote?
Oh, does anybody know the opinion of the younger people, the younger members of the churches? Did he appeal to the young members?
We send a recommendation.
To the church, you see. So you must know the feeling of this meeting first.
One would say no. I mean, I don't disagree with what you said about the children's address. Well, I do, personally.
Yes.
He pointed at the same children's address here that he did in Salford Park.
Did he?
Mm. Yes. I would think so. About the elephants?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And in Norway,
our children
didn't even know he was talking to them.
He stayed up on the pulpit.
He stayed distant to the pulpit, he didn't come here.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say, Alan, was perhaps like Mr. In a way, I'm one of the ones sitting here that did go to two services. I also went to Johnstown yesterday. So I heard him in Salisbury Park last week and in Johnstown yesterday. I felt a degree of obligation because of my commitment with Johnstown now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Johnstown yesterday afternoon. And I've got to be honest in what I'm saying. I sat through two services yesterday. The morning service did a lot for me, but the afternoon service did nothing. The morning service, in fact, I've got to say, the minister we had taken the service yesterday morning, I think felt as much on trial.
I'm sure
he did.
Park,
he did, yes, he did.
Because
yes.
He was a student with us.
Mm-hmm.
To come back yesterday after his first appointment
was
as much on trial as Kenneth. But yesterday, relaxed, unwound himself, and you can tell his 2 years what he's done for him. A number of people said to me how much they enjoyed yesterday's service.
Yeah.
They also took a communion service again, which was hard for him with us.
Yeah.
But I came home and feeling I could relate to all that had happened in that.
Yeah.
Well, I sat in front of you this afternoon, and I felt sorry for Ron's daughter, who had been given a hymn before the service, who was put on the spot. As you said, he couldn't leave his notes, because I have to confess, because I saw him diligently once looking below the pulpit, at his notes, of what he was going to do next. There was the whole time a sense of anxiety about him. All right, we know he had to go to Berea afterwards, that was three. So he couldn't unwind one bit there. And there are occasions, I think we'll all agree, well, right, we have to have notes, but you must unwind a little bit to get near to the people. And I would not feel like I could get near to anyone else. No. I hate to say it, because obviously he wants to find a move somewhere. But I don't think this is the place in life. Of heart of heart, having sat through two, I went home for this afternoon, it was heavy.
Lots of other people said they liked the new name.
Yes, you see, we're in a little different situation than what you are in Salisbury Park. We haven't had to make a demand upon our congregation to make such a decision for 22 or 25 years, you see. Whereas you've had to do that at Salisbury Park, you see. May I just say, I went to Jonestown yesterday because I had half promised our friends here that I would go to support them. It was actually my Sunday. I forego that Sunday afternoon for him to come there. That's why I went. But I also wanted an endorsement of what I heard the previous week. I think that we would all like that.
Well, going back to the very first meeting that we had, I did come away that really when I was struck, that I didn't like at all the excuse that he made for his wife for not being able to take any part in it, that we weren't employing her. Well, right off, I don't think we ever do expect that much. It's all the same. At the same time, we do expect them to mix. If they're going to mix with the church, then they'll be only too happy to take some part in it. But then in the second, when he came here to preach, I didn't see any sign of nervousness myself. Couldn't see any sign of nervousness myself. But I thought his sermon was quite good. But sometimes the further I go on, the more apprehensive I get about it. Whether it's coming here or not, and I don't really think
Well,
we are an old congregation, there's no doubt about it, apart from the players here. But, you see, of course, I'm not too young myself. But we are set in our ways. And that takes it, we can't alter that.
What bothered me most was the fact that one of the things that bothers me is the fact that he said he wouldn't like to do hospital chaplaincy because he wouldn't like to go visiting because he's got no small talk. And I'm just wondering what the knock-on effect of that is in the visiting of the members who can't get to church and who can't receive communion in church and who may like to receive it in their home or in the home where they live. Because you don't just suddenly go in, give communion to someone and walk away again, do you? You establish a rapport of listening for a little while to whatever it is they've got to say and their troubles and their anxieties. And I wasn't happy that there would be that sympathy. I'm certain that the sympathy is there with his wife.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I don't know how much of that compassion and love for fellow people goes beyond his wife to the congregation. I don't know. And if he says to us in meeting that he's got no small talk and no ability for visiting, in a hospital situation where you can ask people how they are and make a move to the next person you've got to see, I'm not sure how he would be visiting someone in their home.
It's always a question, isn't it, as whether you appoint a man because he's a good preacher, mm. or secondly because he's a good pastor. That's really the question.
Mm.
You never get the two.
You can't get the two. What are you doing?
Well,
very lucky if you do. Very lucky if you do.
I would say the second is the
more important. Being a good pastor.
That, you must, that your congregation and all the people in the pastorate must know that they can go to you and that you will listen. And that they will have, for the time that they are in your company, your whole attention and your whole mind concentrated on what happens to be concerning them. Whatever else you've left behind at home, that mm-hmm. for that moment you are there for them, in their service. You know?
Mm.
In other words, the skills of the counsellor.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, as far as I can see, with a few minor reservations, the elders would prefer not to recommend to the church that their call be issued. Have I got it right?
Yes, I think you are.
Well, you've got to have a unanimous decision, haven't you? Mm. And I mean, you know, it's 3-1, isn't it?
Oh, you mean in favour of a call?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, certainly, I mean, one would want to have a substantial majority in favour of a call to issue it. Mm. Now, whether in fact the church meeting would come to a different conclusion from us, I've no means of knowing, but probably not, because most of you know something about the church that you're working with.
The feeling I got was that we couldn't support and minister ourselves, or at least the congregation think that they're there entirely to help Salisbury Park. And I think I go with them on these lines. We're hoping to get something out of that sale, mm. and what we're trying to do is plough whatever we get back into the group,
mm.
so that. More or less, Salisbury Park are the people who really. That they said that whatever decision they make, they would fall in with them.
Mm.
So it looks as if the decision is against. So I'm almost sure that the decision in Johnstone would be against.